Let's discuss the news, according to me. Well, let's talk about how late it is, Nikki. It's, again, it's about, what time is it here? I guess it's 10 till 11 Eastern Standard Time. And I am not, well, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Actually, I am where I'm supposed to be. I'm not where I thought I was going to be, where I thought I was going to supposed to be. I'm supposed to be where I thought I was going to be. No. Anyway, I think the main point I'm trying to make here is that I'm not where I said I was going to be, where I thought I was going to be, because that's not where I am. So I'm somewhere else. I'm actually home. I was in Chattanooga last night and this morning and most of the day. I was supposed to be out of there and at Kalamazoo this evening. That didn't happen. Kalamazoo, Michigan. Kalamazoo and Tyler, too. I don't know where that ever came from. I'm not sure where that's from. Most importantly, after all saying all of that, the reason everybody tunes in, really, is because you want to know what I'm drinking. I've got chocolate milk here. It's not hot chocolate. It's just chocolate milk because it's late at night. I'm just drinking chocolate milk. Probably not the best thing for me to drink this late at night. I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know. I don't know what's good for you. Did you tell me? Because the science seems to be changing all the time on all that stuff. Shouldn't eat anything after 8 o'clock. Science. You should eat all the time. Science. You should never eat. Science. You should never eat dairy. Science. Eat only dairy. Science. Yeah, whatever. Coffee will cause cancer. Science. Coffee cures cancer. Science. Whatever. I'm just going to eat. I like to eat a variety of things. I eat a variety of stuff. I try to keep a variety of my diet. I try to eat fried chicken, grilled chicken, boiled chicken. And, I try to get the chicken early on in the form of an egg occasionally. Fried egg. Boiled egg, grilled egg, or, a nice little side of steak. Fried steak, grilled steak, boiled steak. I think you get where I'm going with this. Any kind of food. The only thing I don't like is spicy food and sushi. I've never had a thing for sushi. There are two things. I can eat them. I can eat sushi and I can eat spicy food. It's just not my thing. I just don't go there. Because for one, it's not cooked. I'm talking about the sushi. And as for the spicy stuff, I've spent some time in some foreign countries that were really big on spice. And I did eat, I can eat it. I just don't care for it. I don't like that choking feeling and sweating and like feeling like your body's trying to reject something and it's on fire. I'm not really into that. I know some people are. Not sure what that's about. A couple things that this is going to be a fairly short show, I think, because it's late at night and I'm going to go to bed. I think I'm going to try to keep this short. So, what I have going on here is I have a couple of issues that I want to discuss because I've been watching some news and it just irritates me. Not that I'm watching news. It's the news itself that I watched that irritated me. I appreciate the fact that I can watch the news or listen to it or whatever. Yeah. I was watching this show the other day, and they were talking about this. The subject was totally unrelated to what I'm about to talk about. The subject the kids were, the kid, it was the visual the optics of what I saw really just tore my heart out. And I don't know how to respond to this stuff anymore, because it's pathetic. I saw these kids in a classroom. And every kid, you know, they had the desks 3 feet apart, which is okay, whatever. That's probably a good thing, is there's not as much hanky-panky going on. Kids, you know, shooting spit wads, they can't quite get them that far. Whatever. Can't pull each other's hair, right on each other's backs. Do all the things that kids do. Some kids, I'm not saying I ever did any of those things. I just heard that some of the kids were apparently doing those kinds of things. I would never consider that as a child. I was fully matured when I was born. The kids in the classroom, they were sitting around. They got these big plastic shields, like plexiglass on the desk. On these little, you know, these little school desks that they have. And they've got these big, you know, like 3 feet tall plastic shields on the desk. The kids are only 3 feet tall. They're sitting at a desk, so you can imagine how much taller these plastic shields go. The plastic shields go all the way around. They go up, you know, the one side of the desk, and then across the front, and then back. And, of course, the whole back end of it's open, and the top of it's open. You know, because COVID can only get you from the front, apparently. And it's been a little bit from the sides, if it's not too, you know, not on a 90-degree perpendicular side. It has to be about 60 degrees to the side, because they're sitting behind the desk. The plastic shields don't go actually beside them. They just go kind of at an angle there beside them. But anyway, I digress. Because COVID can't, you know, it's pretty amazing. So, I don't think we understand, I don't think we're explaining exactly how this stuff travels through the air. A plastic shield might stop spittle or a kid from coughing. However, then they have these masks on all the kids. All the kids are wearing masks. And these kids are like probably 7 or 8 years old, you know, second or third grade kids, maybe fourth or fifth graders at the most. And it just ripped my heart out to see this, because these kids are going through all this for no reason whatsoever. I'm going to type something in just out of curiosity to the search engine, if my computer will even work. And I want to find out exactly how many children under the age of 18 have died from COVID. Now, I know that I'm going to get a bogus answer, because there are those who have died with COVID, those who have died from COVID. How many children have died from COVID under 18? Old DuckDuckGo is doing its thing. I'm going to find out here about an hour after my computer warms up. And the reason this just really tears my heart out is because these kids, you know, what are they being told? It's not so much that a piece of plastic in front of them is going to cause trauma. It's not so much that wearing a mask is going to cause trauma. Provisional COVID-19 death counts. Yeah, I'm not sure. not sure I'm going to I don't know that I trust this kind of stuff that much. This when I get these kinds of numbers, I just don't know what to believe, whether it's better or worse than what they're saying. So I'm still waiting for data here. We're processing, waiting, processing, waiting, still processing. The thing that gets me about this is it's not so much that stuff. It's not a big traumatic thing for a kid to put on a surgical mask or even a respirator. You know, if he's working in a shop to you know, he's painting something or got a lot of dust in the air, whatever it is. That's not traumatizing at all. Having a piece of plexiglass up, I would have kind of liked that, especially if the plexiglass was like opaque so the teacher couldn't see me. I would have loved that. Plus, you can, you know, bounce stuff off of it and hit somebody in the face. If you're behind them, you can actually hit them in the face because you can shoot something at the plexiglass. It bounces off and then it hits them in the face. It's like a front shot from the behind. That's an awesome thing. I would have loved that. Or you do a side ricochet off the side panel, you know, see if you can do that thing. It'd be awesome. But I don't know that. This just popped up. I don't see any numbers here yet. Rows, columns, date. All right, 0 to 4 years old. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? From January 4th, 2020. To April 24th of 2021, a week ago. From the ages of 5 to 18 years old. kids have died. That's 227 too many, don't get me wrong. Do some research yourself on how much of the population that is in terms of children, how many children there are between the ages of 5 and 18. Now, it does say that there were 100 between the ages of 0 and 4. Now, keep in mind, okay, that's first of all, it's over a year. And let's keep in mind that that's not, you know, not all children, unfortunately, are healthy to begin with. Some of them have comorbidities. Some of them have cancer at that age. Some of them have other issues, lung issues, heart disease, even at that age. And they are, you know, among the vulnerable. They're not among the normal kids out there that just are, you know, vast majority of whom This is just heartbreaking for me because they're putting them through this, all this fear. That's what's traumatizing for these kids. It's the fear that they're putting in them. I mean, they're literally scaring them with all this stuff. Making this thing seem like it's this deadly disease out there that's going to get them. Or that they're going to spread and kill someone. And, you know, can you imagine growing up in this, starting off your life with this kind of thing? I don't know. I don't know. This is nearly just abuse for these kids, in my opinion. Putting them through this kind of stuff. But I digress. You know, the fear-mongering and the just all because of the political stuff that these feckless leaders we have want to continue to perpetuate on our society. Absolutely ridiculous. There's something that has happened recently that has really just infuriated me as well. It's not as heartbreaking. It's just infuriating. I'm going to save it for last. I basically have three things I want to talk about this evening. One was this thing with the kids, and it's just. And I know that some schools are better than others. Some of them don't. You know, some places are better than others. Some states, some counties, some cities have better, a more realistic approach at this stuff. But some don't, and it's absolutely heartbreaking, in my opinion. But here's what I want to talk about. The second thing I want to talk about is, well, let me just say one more thing about this. Do you realize? I don't know if I could find it real quickly or not. I'm not going to try it. My computer's just too slow. But look up the numbers on how many kids before the flu disappeared this last year, miraculously somehow. But I'm not sure what to think about that. How many children died from the common flu between the ages of 5 and, well, just go to 0 to 18, or 5 to 18 if you want to. School-age kids. How many of them died of the common flu in 2018 and 2019? I think I'd be shocked and amazed. And we are literally stifling down and muffling and stopping our entire economy, changing our entire way of life, shocking our society because of, and spending trillions of dollars every time we turn around. Every week, it's another $2 trillion we're talking about, all because of this. I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to start going down a rabbit hole. Start already getting my thoughts wound up and starting to think about the way the media talks about the lamestream media, the one that is in the tank, the leftist propaganda side of the media, the way they talk about the $1 trillion budgets and what's happening, and the way they just fall right in line and talk about it the way they're supposed to, which just is absolutely. Yeah, fill in the blank there on that one. I want to talk about the service industry a little bit. I travel around a good size of the chunk of the country, and I eat out at restaurants a lot. So I'm just going to talk about that part of it. Now, there's also hotels. But I also have found out about other service industries as well. Everything from heating and cooling, you know, plumbing, service, just name a service type industry, you know, whatever it might be. They can't find help, folks. We are supposedly in this unemployment situation where all these jobs have disappeared, and yet there are places clamoring for workers. When a McDonald's is paying people $50 to show up for an interview. When there are other restaurants and other service industries who are literally, if you give them your resume, you will get an interview. It's absolutely amazing. You know, you start to open things back up again, and all of a sudden they can't find workers. And why is that? Why can they not find any workers? Why is nobody showing up with a resume to fill out an application online, to do anything to get a job? Why are they not doing that right now if the society is so desperate? You know what? You want to know why? I'll tell you why. Because the government started meddling in it. The government stepped in to save the day. Now think about this. We have restaurants who got hit the hardest. They had to shut down, especially the mom and pop restaurants. Of course, the drive-through places and all the, you know, the burger barns, they were still good. They still kept operating for the most part. So they started shutting them down. Took forever to get them open back up again, especially for indoor. Any place that was just indoor dining, they were terrible. They started they had to change gears and do takeout or delivery, DoorDash, all that stuff started to happen. So they got hit with that. They had to lay off workers. So they laid off workers. But these, you know, the business owners, the ones who don't get unemployment when they shut their business down. I don't know that people realize that. I think most of the society, most of our population does not realize if you start a business and you have employees working for you and you're paying them and then you lay them off, you're paying the unemployment insurance. And your unemployment insurance goes up if you have people that you're laying off. Now, in the midst of all that, if you shut the business down and you go out and now you don't have a job anymore because you've lost the business, it's collapsed, you've closed the shop, guess who doesn't get unemployment? And I'm not saying they should. You know, if you take the chance, have a business that fails, you're on your own. In fact, I'm not sure I really like unemployment all that much anyway. I don't know that it's, when you look at the economics of it and you realize how it's set up, it really is. It perpetuates itself. And I wish I had a big whiteboard, I could explain all this to you, how it works. But it's you know, you think it's a good thing. Oh, I got laid off, I guess, but I have unemployment. It's not as much as my regular pay. Well, it is now. So here's the problem. The government just decided to slap on an additional $300. If you're on unemployment, you get this additional $300 a week. That's a big chunk for most people. And it's just arbitrary, $300. Doesn't matter what your unemployment is. If you're getting $500 a month or a week on unemployment, now all of a sudden you're getting $800. If you're getting $200 a week on unemployment, you're getting $500. It's not proportionate. There's no proportion to that. It's just an additional $300. Because, you know, everybody's the same. The cost of living is the same everywhere, right? This is what you get when you get centralized government making decisions like that. They don't have a plan. They just throw something at it. And it's to buy you off on okaying the stimulus bill, because they're gonna, you know, $2 trillion they got to get pushed through there, with only about $600 billion or less, $400 billion going to the actual issue. The rest of it's all paying off NGOs. And everybody clamors for it because, well, I'm going to get my $1,400 check. That's all I care about. Not sure I'm going to spend it yet. I think I'm going to buy myself a new Xbox. Because I got, you know, because I'm still working, or I'm still to get my unemployment, so I don't really need the money. And I don't have to pay my rent right now. Because, you know, they gave us a rent moratorium. My landlord's going broke, so somebody else is going to have to buy the place. Some big conglomerate probably buy them up for pennies on the dollar. Yeah, it amazes me how, you know, politicians step in and say, nope, nobody has to pay their rent now for, you know, a couple of weeks. If you can't afford to pay your rent, don't pay it. Or rent moratorium. The landlord still has to pay their mortgage. They still have to pay their property taxes. Still have to pay for maintenance on the building. Oh, but that's their problem because they're rich because, you know, they're a landlord. So that's you know, they're those rich people. They don't need that money. Stick it to the man. And again, you know, that's the government stepping in to rescue us all. So these people who are on unemployment right now are getting paid so well that they don't want to go back to work. That's why they're not showing up for the interviews. That's why they're not coming back to work. And now the food industry, after the service industry, food service industry, after having gone through the shutdown, after having gone through all of the COVID issues, investing the money into being able to finally open up their shops, you know, closing down, only opening at 50% capacity or 20% capacity. But, you know, you still have to have people who clean. You still have to have people who serve. You still have to have people who cook. So their overhead is higher, but they're, you know, now they have less income because they don't have as many people in the store, in the restaurant. And they've invested in all these plastic shields and plastic things and, they, you know, more cleaning supplies, higher overhead. And now they can't find people to serve. So they can't, now, even the places who can be opened at full capacity, or even 50% capacity. I've gone to some restaurants recently. They didn't have to worry about the capacity limits because they didn't have enough people to serve. They weren't allowing anybody. You had to wait. Half the store was empty. Half of the restaurant was empty. But they didn't have enough servers, so they were only serving half the tables, even though they could have filled them all up. Well, we've only got two servers tonight, and we really need six. So you know what's going to happen here. The service is going to be slow. It has gotten ridiculous in some places. And it just amazes me how bad it is. And these restaurants are getting hit again. Because here they are now in a place where they have customers now. They can get back to work. But now they're working like crazy, putting in overtime, working, you know, 16 hours a day because they can't find help. And just finding help and getting somebody onboarded and trained takes a lot of effort. Let alone when there's nobody showing up and you still have your business to run. So they're hurting. This is the kind of thing. Because these politicians who've never actually hired anyone to work in their business, never actually created a job. They always talk about creating jobs. Always ticks me off. Only jobs they know how to create are government jobs. And they don't even know anything about those, really. You know, somebody else does that. They've never had to manage a budget. They've never had to make ends meet. They've never had to make, you know, all those payments and do all the taxes and do all the insurance issues and, you know, comply with all the OSHA standards and do all the things that they have to do on top of making customers happy, creating a product or service that's acceptable, that they can create a demand for. They've never had to do that. Most of them have lived in academia all their lives and just have all this theory in their head. But I digress. I just wanted to mention that because I do appreciate all the people out there trying to make this work. And I really have a lot of respect for all the business owners that are really working awfully hard to try to build their business up and live their dream and make it something. You know, investing their time and their energy and their youth, their younger years, and sometimes losing their health over all this stuff. Working their fingers to the bone and trying to make this work. Use their labor and actually receive the rewards of that and not just be ripped off in the end, which I'm afraid they're going, they just might be. But that's yet to be seen. So, on to my third subject. And this one. Now, the first one was heartbreaking. The second one was perplexing and aggravating. This third one makes me, well, let's just say, I could get physically involved in this next one. The Arizona recount. How many of you have heard about that? Go ahead and raise your hands. I'll just count right now. Looks like most of you have heard about it. Okay, good. The Arizona recount, which is not just a recount, it's also an audit and a, what do they call it? Canvas. In other words, they're actually looking at each ballot. It is under so much scrutiny and so much ridicule for doing what they're doing. And the left is going bananas. Now, I am going to say this, I may have mentioned this before, but it's worth saying again. I'm not sure that the audit is going to be, it's not just a recount, it's also an audit, and it's a canvassing audit. In other words, they're verifying ballots. I'm not convinced that it's going to matter that they're counting these again. I mean, it may matter in the public's eye to say, oh, I guess I guess all those ballots were correct. If they count them all and say, yes, they were all, there they are, we counted them, we got the same number. I'm sorry, but if you count bogus ballots, it doesn't mean that the election was not meddled with. And I here's the thing. It's been, 6 months since the election? I guess almost 7 months. And those ballots have been moved around. Individuals have had access to them. Who knows what has been done with them, really? I mean, you're telling me somebody's been standing there and, you know, that armed guards have been standing there guarding this stuff under lock and key for, that only, you know, only two people have the key and they both have to be there. It's just, the security on this thing is not that great, in my opinion. The machines and the ballots, neither one. I don't trust any audits on them anymore. It's been too long and too many people have had access. But in the meantime, they're having this audit. And of course, they have like two cameras on every ballot counting station. And they've tried to stop this several times now. They've actually had injunctions and they've got it started and they had to stop it. And they got started and they had to stop it. They finally started counting ballots, I think, about, was it just in the last few days? Sometime end of last week, I think. And they finally got this going, then they had to verify that there was a secure way of counting the ballots without having anyone's information exposed. Any voter registration information exposed. And so this company, I think it's something Ninjas or something. I don't know what it's called. Net Ninjas or whatever. I don't know what they are. It's a private organization they've hired to do this. And that's, of course, that's a crime too, I guess. It's a crime. Oh, look at this. They've got this shady company in there. They're a biased, you know, whatever company that's, and they're doing this counting. It doesn't really matter who's counting as long as everyone can see them counting, which is exactly the point. It's live. It is a live broadcast. You can tune into any of these cameras and watch what's going on anytime you want to. They have observers. Of course, it's been infiltrated by some reporters, which you're not supposed to be in there as a reporter. You're supposed to be a trained observer to watch what's going on. And what's ridiculous about that is some of these journalists, supposedly, who are in there to observe are just basically taking up a spot and allowing cheating to go on one way or the other. It's just ridiculous. The observers are that's turned into a hokey show. However, the cameras still don't lie. The cameras are still there. Everything's being recorded. And you can watch it live. You can even record it if you have a proper equipment on your computer there. So anyway, so this is all going on right now. And of course, the left pundits are just, you know, oh, this is ridiculous. Oh, this is so crazy. They got all these things that they're saying about it. And of course, they're trying to discredit it as much as possible, because if it comes out that there's something wrong, they're going to, you know, they know it's not going to change the outcome of the election. They know that Biden's not going to, you know, oh, well, I guess I lost, so I'm going to step down. That's not going to happen. Everybody knows that's not going to happen. And I'm even doubting that there's going to be any difference in the count. I really am. I wonder that there if there would be, because because I know that they've had plenty of time to finagle this thing. However, there could be, and if there is, it's going to be a wild ride, because it's just going to throw another flurry of activity up against in this thing. Now, having said all that, here's what aggravates me, and I wouldn't say aggravates me, this is what infuriates me. The last thing that just recently happened, after this company had sealed, the court asked for the records on how they were going to handle security with voter records. They handed this stuff to the court with the understanding from the court, from the Senate, actually, is who required this stuff, the state Senate. That the documents and that the disclosure of how they were going to handle security would be sealed, that the public wouldn't have access to that information. This is kind of like a business, like a bank. Let's say a bank, for instance, giving you the blueprints to their entire building and their vault and everything else that's in it. That wouldn't give you necessarily the codes, but the whole layout of the building and where all the security cameras are. That's kind of what this is like. So under the understanding of the law, they were supposed to be able to give them these documents sealed from the public. In other words, they were, you know, eyes only kind of thing. And only certain people could see it. So this judge in Arizona, obviously a judge that should not be a judge. In fact, he should be thrown out of his seat physically right now. And I'd be glad to do it. This judge had the audacity to release these records to the public. It's online. You can go download it right now. Everybody in the world can download the security documents on how they're handling security. Now the question is, can that, because it's been out there now, can that be hacked? Can someone do anything with that information? And that's probably what he's counting on. And then they can say, well, that way they can discredit the count. What are they afraid of? This is simply to verify, just make sure that everything is correct, and we can move on, because everyone can say there's, even though I still won't believe it, there's that way, and people would have a little bit more, at least a little bit more confidence in the integrity of their elections. That's the goal, I think, that they're trying to accomplish here. And unfortunately, the left just doesn't want that. No, we don't need that. We just have to believe it blindly. What are they afraid of? What are they afraid we're going to find out? You have to kind of wonder. And the way they're fighting this tooth and nail, you would think they'd be wanting to rub it in our faces that they won with such ridiculous rates. Now, so there's been an injunction, or there's been a bunch of stuff filed by the auditing lawyers, the people who are involved in the audit process. There's all kinds of things being filed back and forth. But in my opinion, if I was the state attorney general there, I don't know what kind of power they have in terms of what they can do to a judge. But somebody needs to step in, potentially with some kind of a sharp object, and remove this guy from guy or gal or whoever it is. They need to be disbarred, never to practice law again, in my opinion. This is borderline criminal. Absolutely ridiculous. And the entire nation should be, we're all upset about stupid things. You may not think this is much of a crime, but this is heinous, in my opinion. Well, who was hurt? The entire election system. And it's not so much that, it's just this idea of trust in our judicial system. He or she has destroyed that. When you become that partisan, justice is no longer blind. It's, the scales of justice have been tipped. And it's just, talk about undermining not just the election, the process of our election, but I was already pretty much having trouble with the justice system that as it is. I could go on with some stories about the FBI and what they've been up to lately too, but I'm not going to do that because it's getting late. The show wasn't supposed to go an hour. Speaking of elections, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, he has MyPillow, and I want it back. he's got a second movie. Of course, he's getting sued for like $1.2 billion or some ridiculous amount of money from Dominion. And, he actually went on Jimmy Kimmel Live, I guess, got interviewed. Now, Jimmy was kind of slapping him around quite a bit and really belittling him and making fun of him. And Mike just goes right off Mike's back. And good for him. That's the sign of a very strong individual and a person who has a very, very strong resolve, as well as a humility that just, he's just unflappable. It's just, you can't, I mean, cause he was all over and he was right back in his face, and it wasn't an argument. I mean, Mike didn't get into an argument with him. He just, continued to explain where he's been and what he's done, and good for Jimmy. I mean, he had him on there and they had a discussion, and it was cordial. It was, they disagreed, but they could still talk to each other. And Jimmy said he actually read his book, and I believe he did, because he was calling out things in the book that, talked about his life, and I think he actually did read his book. Mike's got quite a testimony about what God has done in his life, and it was Of course, Jimmy didn't really want to talk about much of that stuff, but he was, he did let him talk about it though. And Jimmy has some respect for him, but he feels like, oh, I think you damaged your brain, you know, with all the crack and stuff you did. And now you're paranoid, or you got this, that, or, you know, I think there's something wrong with you, basically is what he was saying in so many words. And, so it's kind of interesting. It was an interesting back and forth with them. And I really have to hand it to Mike, the way he handled it. He didn't take himself too seriously and just wanted to say, regardless of the outcome of this thing, these machines are messed up. And his new one is absolute proof. First one was something about something evidence. I think this one's absolute evidence or absolute proof or whatever it is. And I haven't seen the second movie. I did go to Mike Lindell's website, and you cannot unfortunately the video now has been removed or disabled somehow. The server that he has his website on has somehow, and he's supposed to be coming out with his own social media platform. I think it's called Frank. Let's see if I can find anything. Frank website. Let's see if we can find that. I'm pretty sure I've found it before, but it wasn't really up yet. FrankSpeech.com. Frank, FrankSpeech.com. Let's go to it and see what happens here. Frank. Submit your mobile phone number to access Frank and watch Lindell TV live. Well, I'm not going to do that because I'm not sure what this is. I'm going to have to wait and see if this is actually the real website or not. I've got to do more research before I start putting my phone number into something. The other thing I want to look at here was his the Mike Lindell movie. Mike Lindell. Absolute Proof, I think is what it's called. Let's see if I can find it here. It looks like he's selling that one. That's Absolute Proof 2 is $9.99 on eBay. Is that a book or is that a video? DVD. It's a DVD. So Michael J. Lindell, Watch Absolute Interference. Absolute Proof. I don't know. Independent. I think I'm going to look here at this one. I think this is the one that would be at. It's actually on Mike Lindell, supposedly on Mike Lindell's website. I went there and they had a bunch of other videos. They did have the one about Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah, this has got Jimmy Kimmel and all this stuff on it. There is one here somewhere that documentary on Lindell TV. This is Mike Coronavirus. Yeah, I think the video is out, but they don't have it here on the website yet. I'm probably not free. I don't know. I wouldn't. That wouldn't be like him. But it's got to be here somewhere. my website's downloading or it's loading kind of slowly. But so we'll have to find out what that's about. But that's kind of a side note. You know. Again, getting back to this judge. This court system. Supposedly, this kangaroo joke of a court that this judge presides over, who is apparently the head clown, is absolutely just asinine, ridiculous. This guy's should be run out of town. It just infuriates me. So, that's enough for the show tonight, I think. Tomorrow morning, there will be another show. It will not be super early in the morning, but it will be earlier in the morning. And it will come out, I don't know, sometime around the morning time. That's what I'm planning on. And we got some other topics we're going to talk about. We might talk about this vaccine passport issue that keeps coming up. And Some of the things about the Chauvin trial, there's some new things in the news today about a particular juror that may have been compromised. So they okay. Like all of them. All of them were intimidated and compromised, maybe a little bit. One of them actually lied, which is that's probably a pretty big deal. But he's being interviewed prior to. We'll talk about that tomorrow. And that's about it. So have a good night. God bless and be at peace. Because there's a reason to be.